CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The season's been long over. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know who the coach is going to be. We don't know who the GM is going to be. We don't know how involved the owner is going to be. There's so many question marks. You got guys talking about tapping out the other day in Buffalo. What is this week in practice like?
Oh, these guys are done. They're over it. I think after the loss in Buffalo, I think when you had DJ Reed and his comments talking about, hey, man, I'm done here. I'm going to explore free agency. Sauce pretty much, in layman's terms, saying, hey, I've starting to see some guys already check out. Even Aaron Rodgers has kind of said it and not said it, like, hey, guys will be evaluated accordingly from what they're able to do on tape these last couple of weeks, and on top of that, how they move around the building. So there's already been speculation about some of these guys, for Christ's sake, saying, hey, this is going to be a new locker room, new team. I'm ready to get on with it.
Yeah, it's just such a... The season,
it's a somber time for a lot of these guys.
Because for the teams that are going to the playoffs, you think about this week and how excited they are to get to the postseason. You've got teams that are still, not that there's many spots up for grabs, there aren't anymore, but you still have a couple of teams that are in it fighting for that final spot in the AFC. Like, there's still life and hope. And for other teams, I mean, it couldn't be more polar opposites, where you talk about just trying to wrap it up and get the hell out of here and not get hurt and then look towards next season in a vacation, essentially.
And I've been a part of both, right? Obviously, being with the Steelers, I know what it is to go to the playoffs. Once you get in, there's a new sense of energy. There's a surge, surge of energy that comes amongst the team. You feel more focused. You're more dialed in because you know you're one and done if you do not win the game.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, when you're cleaning out your locker, you're saying goodbye to people who you never see again. The training staff, they're looking at you like, man, I don't know if you're coming back, but if I do see you around, hey, best of luck to you type conversations. And it's somber. It's not a good feeling. Once you walk out and you get in your car, like, not knowing what next year looks like, especially if you're a bubble guy like I was towards the back end of my career, it's weird, man. It's a weird feeling.
No, it's weird, and it has to be, because the journey starts essentially in March, basically, and you're with this group of men, and then all of a sudden it just ends.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's coming back and how many and what the team's going to look like and what the dynamic of it is. And when you walk into Florham Park, if you're a Jet, who's running the show, and the rules will be different. And there's so much that you don't know. It's got to be a very strange time.
It's strange for a lot of these young guys who are maybe a year or two into the league, because, they're like, if you're a Breland Allen, right, who just got to the team, yeah, you had a productive year, but you may have a new quarterback. You may have a new coach. There's so much that you don't know. And all you can do is really prepare in the offseason to be the best best you can be. But you still want some continuity to come back to, right? You still want some familiarity. And that's not an option right now. A lot of that is bigger for some of these young guys. And that's tough, because a lot of guys, when they go into the offseason, they're at least optimistic about what next year could look like for them, especially their team. If you're a young Jet guy right now, you're like, man, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm just happy to have a job.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a young guy who most, if you're – even if you're the Niners right now, they've had a lot of success, but there's still optimism along the road. There's just a hope next year we're going to get this thing right, we're going to do what we need to do, and we'll be back where we need to be. If you're the Jets, you're not saying that.
Right. Well, like we pointed out before in the Super Bowl, you weren't very interested in. The 49ers were just, I'm just kidding, were just there and have been a very good team for a long time now, and they still have really good players hit by the injury bug, and you would expect them to kind of be back to that level next year. Teams like the Jets and the Giants, there's so many uncertainties. But here would be the positive I would give you if you are a Jet fan or a Giant fan or whoever the fan might be of a bad team. When you look at teams like Houston last year, when you look at teams like Washington this year, whether it's the coach, the quarterback, the combination, it really can. It doesn't have to be this monster rebuild that takes five. It can turn over pretty quickly.
I think the Washington example is the best. I remember watching the Commanders when they had Jacoby Brissett and some of the no-name guys that I've never heard of kind of run up and down the field against the Jets. And I was like, man, this team, it felt like they were like 5 years behind. It took one guy, Jaden Daniels, a new head coach, and boom, they're going to the playoffs. And you're looking at the whole organization in another light. Like, all right, they finally arrived. And I think that's what Jets fans are craving. Like, we want to feel like we arrived. Even if we don't go to Super Bowl, but to be in contention.
It's a step.
Listen, the Jets season was over before Thanksgiving. That was brutal. Before Thanksgiving, the Jets season was a wrap.
The Mets and Yankees, I think, were playing more relevant baseball further into the fall than the Jets and Giants were.
100%.
Which is unbelievable to think that that's where we are going into a season that had, you know, the Jets, there was hope again. Dummies like me thought they were going to have a big season. I didn't know what the Giants would be. I thought they would be, I always said I thought the Giants were going to hover around 500. I was way off on that. But I thought the Jets were going to be really good. And they weren't. And the season was over before it started.
What's wild, too, about the Jets season, they everything they needed, they received.
I know. Everything the fans wanted, the owner gave you.
For the fan, like, you can't ask, you can't write a longer grocery list, and Woody gave it everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hassan Reddick, Devontae Adams, he fired the head coach.
Let me ask you something. Not to interrupt you, because you just hit on something that I find, Al asked a very interesting question a couple of weeks ago, and that was the Woody sell the team theory has now been out there. We've heard it loud and clear the last couple of months.
You've been screaming it.
Correct. And so you just brought up something very interesting. Like Al said to me, he says, you know, the fans wanted Aaron Rodgers. The owner said, go get Aaron Rodgers.
They did.
The fans wanted Hassan Reddick. The Jets went out, got Hassan Reddick. When he didn't come here, the owner went and got and brought him in here.
Yeah.
The fans wanted Rob Saleh fired. And I hate to say that, but that is true. He essentially fired Rob Saleh. Yet here we are. None of what the fans wanted that the owner did worked, and now the fans want him to sell the team. Now, it goes deeper than that, and I know that.
Yes.
But in this standalone season, I think his point is, and it's a good point, that the owner did what almost every fan wanted, and none of it worked.
Yeah, and that's why I give Woody some grace, because at the end of the day, he can't do no more than what he already did. And I think what's frustrating moving forward is watching him get out of character, right?
The binging, I agree with that.
Firing Rex Hogan, let go of Joe D. Like, that's when it starts to seem like, man, this is really getting ugly. Like, we're going into no man's territory. And it doesn't seem like he's, and now you brought in, now you bring in Lombardi and then 33 and a third and that whole situation. Now you're giving them the a la carte to kind of run the show and really figure this thing out. And then people are just like, where are we? Like, what direction, where are we headed with this, right? You hired somebody you fired who once was in that position. And there was a reason you let him go. So, like, where are we going?
And I've said this to you before, I think off the air. Hire Mike Tannenbaum again. Like, instead of him running, hire him then.
Go get him.
If you want him. And my point with Woody was, you know, if you're going to be the GM, be the GM. Like, I think Jet fans get this, even though he did a lot of what they wanted, it's like the owner's not supposed to be doing this stuff. You hire people to do this stuff. And if you're going to do it, then pull a Jerry Jones and make yourself the GM and the owner.
And that's unnerving for a new head coach, too.
Sure.
Right? If you're a new head coach stepping into that position, you know, you don't want to hear the guy up top stepping into roster changes and how to operate a roster. And, like, that's not what you do. Now that's a possibility because Woody has done it, especially with benching guys, right? Like,
it's been a bad year for him.
Yeah. So year. if you're a coach who's established and feel like I know what I can do best, I don't want to fight that dog because you're never going to win. You're never going to beat the owner.
You're not the guy that controls everything.